Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis. Comment ça va? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing very, very well tonight. This is Sybil Brunchen. Yes, it's Mummy coming to you live right now. And we are on the air with Come Now, Don't Sulk, a live podcast, can you imagine? And we are coming to you from the East Coast. Mummy is not in the Chrysler Building tonight. I have been traveling, as many of you know, over these last several weeks. Usually we come to you from high atop the Chrysler Building in the heart of New York, from the revolving ballroom of the Café Berlin in the beautiful Art Deco Chrysler Building. But tonight, Mummy is coming to you live from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, and I'm here on some business. My producer, the irreplaceable, the irrepressible, the wonderful, the liberated beyond all imaginings in this new millennia, Gwendolyn Holden Berry, who is also the founder of DaughtersOfIsis.com. By the way, DaughtersOfIsis.com, I'm getting so much mail from you. Daughters of ISIS has nothing to do with ISIS in the Middle East, but it's DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, all one word. Do check them out on your laptops tonight while we're broadcasting to you. And she is the founder of that wonderful company. And they have hundreds of amazing products that excite your nose and your senses and your chakras and your, I think, your spirit. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mummy. Thank you for the plug. Listen, it should be known that ISIS is a goddess, not a terrorist. It's ISIL or Daesh, but it is not really ISIS. That's a Western journal misnomer.
Exactly. Thank you for clarifying that.
Is the mother goddess of Egypt, and she was known as the Heart of Heaven and became known as the Madonna throughout all cultures in the Western world. So, you know, that's a little...
And wasn't Isis's son Osiris? Osiris?
No, that was her brother husband, who she...
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Who she actually collected and rejuvenated to beget the son Horus, whose name in Egypt is Heru, and that is where the word hero comes from in the mythology comes down.
Right, right. Thank you for clarifying that. But anyway, I do want people to go to daughtersofisis.com. And we always plug a fragrance every week. We always mention a fragrance that's appropriate. And now that we're in the 2020s, the new roaring 20s, so to speak, Gwendolyn, what's a fragrance we should check out on daughtersofisis.com?
Well, I have to tell you that because of the times we're in and what we face as not just the spiritual community, but the community at large, I go to the classic Maya, who had a saying called Inlakesh Alakin, which means I am another yourself. I am your brother, your sister on this journey or path. And I created a fragrance to express it. And this global community of ours is, you know, we have to turn with commitment in our hearts to evolving. And this is a scent that is, I started with citrus base, but then I, as a middle note, actually, and I topped it off with jasmine. And I used
citrus and jasmine. I love that.
And I put a little bit of Haitian sandalwood or amaryllis in there to settle it all together. And I added a very strange thing, a little white pepper, essential oil of white pepper, just a little bit. And it all seems to come together well. So it's a fragrance that invites you to be generous and kind and to be clear-minded about things. So
that sounds amazing. What's it called again, just so we can look it up on the internet? The fragrance is called what?
In Lakesh, Alakin.
Okay.
It's In Lakesh.
Okay. Perfect. And it's available now for sale.
It is. Yes, it is.
I love the idea of white pepper in there. I'm just, oh my gosh, jasmine, citrus, white pepper. I love all of that kind. That's very evocative, the whole thing.
Oh, the citrus is strange too. I got a little bit of yuzu and green mandarin in there.
My God. All right. Well, I've never smelled this new fragrance, but I am going to. Is this a brand new one? What did you say?
Actually,
is it new?
No, it's not brand new. I've had it for a while, but it makes sales when people hear about it. You know, people don't understand, and then all of a sudden they understand. Now, when I'm teaching or doing, you know, a workshop or something, and I bring it out, people go nuts. But other than that, you know, you have to get the word out. So it's not one of my biggest sellers. Until I'm out there pushing it, it's a big seller.
Well, that's all the great perfume houses. They have all these. I mean, Chanel No. 5. People don't realize that Chanel has like 85 fragrances, you know, and that Chanel No. 5 is just their big main sort of Chevrolet convertible. You know, it's like their basic one. You know, their Chevrolet station wagon. But I mean, General Motors has tons of different cars. So yes, that's great. All right, after the show tonight, I want to talk to you about this fragrance because I must have some. So because I'm traveling so much. And that I want to make sure I'm abreast of the 2020 fragrances. I want to remind everyone that you can call in tonight, 323-784-9639. Have you got your crayons out and ready and your construction paper? The phone number again is 323-784-9639. Call in and talk to us. Mummy posted a picture of whatever that society dame was from Washington, D.C., and then the admiral on the left and, you know, General so-and-so on the right with the atomic bomb cake from 1947 or 46, whatever it was. Imagine having the nerve to have a cake made of an atomic bomb explosion. And that photograph is just so classic. I couldn't resist posting it on the internet as our ad for tonight's show. Happy New Year, and or is it, was the title of the ad. And we welcome you to call in and let us know how you feel about the new year. Mummy was traveling all up and down the coast. I've been doing lots of business travel, but then I happened to go to Cape Cod for Christmas. I was there for 5 days over the Christmas holiday. Chatham on Cape Cod was breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. They had a surprise warm spell there. So it was like 40 degrees, 45 degrees. It was never snowy. And then I left directly from there, came home to New York to do laundry, and then ran directly down to Tampa, St. Pete, which was beyond breathtaking, even with one day of chilly weather, where the temperature actually dropped to 60 degrees and everyone there was shivering. But for the most part, it was 75 and 80 and breathtaking. And I, if you ever are wondering where Mummy is, I'm like Dora the Explorer. You can find me on the Tourette's, which I post not only on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but also on SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com and SybilBrunchen.com. Always check in on those mummies and on my YouTube channel. I have my own YouTube channel where I now have like 200 videos, and they will show you where I've been. And I think my Tampa St. Pete Tourette's were pretty funny, including the alligator one, which Gwendolyn seemed to get a big kick out of. Just have the alligator at Lake Carillon. By the way, Lake Carillon is the size of a large bathtub. I don't know why they call it lake. It should be Carillon Pond or something. But that's the one that has the Carillon tower over it at the Hilton, and they never turn the Carillon on. It's this extraordinarily big tower with huge bells in it. They've never turned it on in the time I've been going there. I don't understand what's wrong, and I can't find anything on Google or Wikipedia about what happened to it. Is it broken? Did the batteries run down? Did the neighbors complain? Or did the alligators fuss about it? But the Carillon, you can see the pictures on the internet, but it never plays. We encourage you to call in tonight, 323-784-9639, because you can direct which direction you want us to go on the show. Gwendolyn and I always talk right before the show, and we're marveling at the the situation with Iran, in which, you know, the terrible thing about living in the age of technology like this is everything is recorded. So the good news and the bad news is that all of history is recorded. The good news is that people will be able to see living film of the most amazing events. If only we could have living film of ancient Rome or Greece or Egypt or even of the French Revolution or all sorts of things, you know, film that would have made it come alive. On the other hand, living film and video also preserve forever the folly of human beings, the stupidity, the mendacity, and the hypocrisy. The biggest film on MSNBC right now, and indeed all the networks, is Donald Trump going on a rampage about Barack Obama starting a war with Iran back in 2012 to, quote unquote, assure his reelection, which is hysterical. He goes on and on and on. The only good news about it is he's less orange in 2012 than he is today. But I mean, to listen to him go on and to insult Obama and everything about how he's going to assure his reelection by picking a war with Iran, which of course Obama never did. To see what's going on right now, the whole idea of assassinating someone in another country, granted, a huge evil turd of a man, the second in command of Iran, literally what would be equivalent to Mike Pence in Iran, they blow him up at an airport in Iraq, not even in Iran. They blow him up at an airport in Iraq. And of course, this inflames the entire Mideast. Our allies are kind of looking at their shoes. They don't want to openly insult Trump, although Boris Johnson, Britain's answer to Donald Trump, apparently was somewhat insulting to Donald Trump. But the whole point is that this is going on. And, you know, what are we going to do? And what's the best choice, et cetera,
people.
Et cetera.
26 people died. 26 people died. And, you know, I know what a terrorist is. I wrote about it when I got out of school in the old days, the PLO and the PFLP. And he was certainly a dirty bastard. There is no question. But what he did, what our president did, was commit an act of war.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, you know what's interesting, and this is where my political credentials, you know, are very disturbing to a lot of people. There's no question that I'm very liberal, so to speak, or progressive in some ways. I also am very revolutionary, or so I don't know what I would say in other ways. It is interesting when you've lived through the Vietnam War, and you've lived through, you know, now 20 years of meaningless desert wars, desert war versions of the Vietnam War. We've seen that tiny third world countries with no wealth at all and practically no running water can defeat the Roman empires of the 20th and 21st century. They can vex and defeat the most enormous technology.
Mommy? Well, we've had an interruption in service, and we will get the caller back, which is Mommy. And I am just going to wait for her to get back online here. This is Gwen, the producer. I hope you're all still listening. And we will It's just technical problems. Stand by, please. And here we have Mommy back.
Gwendolyn. I just got a note. I got a private message on my computer that said Dick Cheney had me disconnected. Listeners at home, Dick Cheney just had me completely disconnected. They technologically did that. Anyway, I was about to say, I'm sorry, home audience. It isn't live podcasting without technological difficulties. It just goes to show that we really are live and that this is not pre-recorded or a completely constructed program. Anyway, what I was about to say was that we've seen that Vietnam, with a bunch of rice paddies and black pajamas and a rifle, can defeat and vex the United States right out of your country. And not only did the Vietnamese manage to do that, but now we vacation in their country in luxury hotels. I mean, talk about how the world reverses itself. The same thing with these desert countries, you know, Iraq, Iran, countries of Afghanistan, the bane of existence of the Russians and the British Empire, and now the United States. We're being kicked out of Iraq. Talk about humiliating. We spend $1 trillion in Iraq trying to meddle in their lives, and this is the second time we will be asked to leave. And it's shocking. No one learns anything, and especially people who don't go to war. You know, if you want to have a war be a disaster, have a president who has deliberately skipped out of military service in charge of America's troops. There should be a law. You know, everyone's talking about passing laws. If the Democrats really want to pass a law, they should pass a law that any command, quote unquote, commander in chief, right, who can declare war without the approval of Congress, any person in that much power can never do it unless they have served in the military in a war themselves. Why should they be allowed to send anyone's children into a life and death situation without having not only their own children up for the draft? Jenna Bush, giggly drunky, you know, Count Druncula Jenna Bush, who should have been sent to the front lines by her father, but her own father didn't ever serve, right? Her grandfather did as a hero, but her father didn't. Jenna Bush didn't go to war. Donald Trump should send that half-wit son, whatever his problem is, I don't care that he's 14, he should be sent to the front lines. Ivanka has been way overdue to get a crew cut and get army duty. She should be on the front line. That idiot husband of hers should be on all fours. Tiffany should be on all fours in some foxhole somewhere. It's like, this is, and of course the two sons, the two oldest sons, they should be gone. They should have been blown to bits ages ago in some part of the war. So it's ridiculous that we keep having these politicians send other people's children to war with nothing at stake themselves. But here we are yet again, and now we're getting into another situation with Iran. So it'll be Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. I guess we won't be satisfied until literally Israel is firing their nuclear weapons all over the eastern part of the Mediterranean Sea. It is absolutely shocking. And, you know, I don't understand how much farther this has to go before it really does blow up, like that cake where the ambassador's wife and the two admirals are standing there smiling at the camera with an atomic bomb cake. It really is baffling that people are still doing this, still. And of course, the assassination of that general, the Iranian general, has galvanized and reunited the Iranian people who have been protesting against their own regime. They've been protesting it. Now you look at the film and it's millions of Iranians are protesting united against the United States. I say we hand them Donald Trump, we collect the $80 million, and then now we're even. You just, you know, handcuff him, put a hood over his head, put him in a trunk, and send him over to them. Let them do what they want, and we collect the $80 million price tag that's on his head. And you know, if Mike Pence would
galvanize that or clear that deal. Let's send him along too. Just get rid of both of them. It's so funny how this new year is beginning. Tragic, sad, and funny. What do you think we should do, Gwendolyn?
Well, there's one or two options. We can wake up and smell the lilac bushes that have been planted around these outhouses, or we can put our head between our legs and kiss our asses goodbye.
You know what I think is amazing?
What else is there? We have to vote. We have to vote. We have to turn to our friends and neighbors and say to them, in the very least, have you registered to vote this year? You do know how important it is. You don't have to get into a political discussion.
Well, I post that all the time.
I know you do. You do a lovely job of it. And people,
I post things
to
all the time. I'm posting down countdown now. I'm posting countdowns to Election Day. I'm actually posting little posters that say, 312 days left before Election Day. You know, I'm posting and doing as much as I can. I'm with you. We have to vote, but I don't know.
The most important vote this year, in my opinion, is the primary vote in the Democratic race. And that is the most important vote.
Well, we need to talk about that right now. Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's do that because we haven't gotten a phone call in. Let's talk about that. I want to ask you a question. I know where you stand with the candidates, the Democratic candidates, the possibilities. Mm-hmm. I saw something today on Facebook where a Facebook friend said that, okay, I want to make this, I'm not going to give the name away. I'm going to phrase it. He said that if we don't, that it's Bernie Sanders or nothing. And immediately people joined in and said, well, wait a minute, you can't mean that. What if he doesn't get the nomination? And this fellow, my Facebook friend, said, I can't remember how he laid it down, but he was indignant and furious that fellow Democrats were saying it should be anyone who the Democrats nominate, that we should vote for any Democrat, and that we cannot get caught up again on whether or not it's Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or this or that or this or that, because
that's what
gave the election away in 2008. And
it is.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And what I'm concerned about is, not 2008. What am I drawing about? 2016. What I'm concerned about, I'm concerned about is that we had people vote for Jill Stein, we had people vote for Gary Johnson, and we had people who did not vote at all because they were angry that Hillary Clinton had been nominated. And the catastrophe that has happened to this country in the last 3 years, we may not, I mean, I'm sorry, Gwendolyn, I hope you live to be 120, but on the chance that you don't and I don't, we will certainly not see the end of the ecological and economic catastrophe that has happened because of Donald Trump. The trillions in the deficit alone it's a shocking thing. This national debt will not be fixed in the time of who would be my grandchildren. They will pay, a toddler will be paying this debt for another 50 years, 60 years.
Well, Mommy, I have to say that what we're calling a climate crisis has not reached its crisis point. But in the next 20 years, it will. And when it does, many things like deaths, and money, even. I mean, it could get very tribal again.
Well, don't you think, though, that we have reached the critical mass? Australia is the ultimate example of that. Australia is burning.
Well, Amazon,
the entire coastline is burning.
Amazon was very much a factor of that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When somebody says it's Bernie or nothing, these Bernie people who do this, they are very few of them, because I've gotten calls, because I'm a progressive, I've gotten calls from the Bernie campaign. Oh, we'd like you to chip in. And I'd say, well, you know, I'm for progressives, but I'm for putting a woman in the White House, and I'm working for her, but I wish you good luck. And, you know, with the same kind of polite respect, that Bernie person said, same to you, good luck. We do have to put a progressive into the candidacy.
Right.
Then you get these people who they will collectively term as Bernie brothers, who are obnoxious, uber liberal, Marxist, whatever, la, la, la. If Bernie does get it, I will happily go in and pull the lever. If anybody besides Warren or Bernie gets it, my sister will have to blindfold me and put my hand on the lever. But I will pull it for the Democrat. You cannot walk away from your duty to vote if you are an intelligent American citizen. You just can't do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I was going to mention, yes, I agree with you completely. The response to the Brazilian terrible situation there and the rainforest there, of course, Americans, you know, we joke about this all the time, you and I. Americans, for the most part, don't differentiate between any country and another south of the Rio Grande. Sadly, most of America, especially white America, non-Latin America, non-Latin Americans, black, white, whatever, they do not differentiate between any of the countries in the south of the Rio Grande. Mexico is Argentina, Puerto Rico is Ecuador, it's Spanish, it's this. They don't know, most of them don't know that Brazil is Portuguese, speaks Portuguese, not Spanish.
Right.
They
right.
don't conceive of the fact that the Argentinians or the Argentines, they consider themselves as different from the Paraguayans as
yes,
the Italians do from the French. See, Americans
right.
don't see that. Now, and I would say that most Americans would say, well, yeah, Europe, yeah, France and Germany and Italy, yeah, they are really different. But in fact, when we look at Americans and listen to them, especially when Jay Leno used to do jaywalking and those on the sidewalk live scenes where he would go out and question people, you know, what's the capital of France, et cetera, and people would give these idiot answers. In fact, Americans barely know that France and Germany and Italy are different countries, let alone Ecuador and Paraguay and Bolivia. So the fact is that Americans are still, you know, because we're so separated by these two giant oceans, united to the world by television and the internet, but still separated by those damn oceans, the Atlantic and the Pacific, that we really are not only we're not interested, we're not even curious about the fact that other countries see themselves as different from each other as they are from America. And that, you know, this is a very strange myopia that this country
and
continues to nurture.
Do you know what's interesting about that too? By the next presidential election in 2024, the largest voting bloc will be Latinos in this country.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, even larger than the black population, the African American population.
Yes, in voting, yes, it will be. And this useless debate that is preceding the primary about who can beat Donald Trump best is like, it's ridiculous to me. I wish somebody would stick a sock right up Michael Moore's butt. And I love Michael Moore, but he's a pessimistic idiot when it comes to the elections, and he wasn't really quite right about the last one. And basically saying that if we don't have the right man in the city, they are doing it again.
Right.
They're slamming
right.
us girls down. And even Klobuchar, I mean, they don't give her the due she's due, and especially Warren. And I think that Warren is going to, they were saying she only raised like $11 million and the guys all did this much. Well, they had to retract that because she did bring in over $21 million in, you know, gobbling up. And Pete Buttigieg is sort of my idea of a political flash in the pan. The LGBTQ community at large is so angry about him. I mean, thinking people are. His Chick-fil-A stuff and the Salvation Army stuff and his political hypocrisy there is just too much. He's corporate Democrat. And these middle-of-the-road characters, whereas Klobuchar has every good intention, the other two, Buttigieg and Biden is a stumble bum, an idiot, and a corporate bagman, and he's going to have status quo in there. And we can generalize all we want, but we got two people, and one man and one woman, who are standing up to the American people and saying, look, it's got to change. And I have a plan to do it. And it's not just Warren who has plans, really good ones. It's also Bernie. His policies are amazing, too. And they're what we need to right the course of the political ship here. But when Bernie people come on, and they're frothing from the last, you know, primary. When they come on and they come at people, it's because they're uber defensive. And I don't think that all those folks who voted for Jill Stein or and what's his name, Johnson or what have you, because I know two people who did that and they both regret it to this day. And it's like, yeah, you got to go with the primary, you know, Democrat candidate. You can't split your vote like this because it's gone way too far. The good part about it is here, and it's something that needs to be really observed. Look at the exposure of the patriarchy since Trump walked in. Look at the exposure of all of this.
I try to be positive. First of all, you're much more outspoken about individual candidates, potential candidates and their failings than I am. I'm more forgiving of their various, in some ways, in other ways, I'm not. I agree with you in certain ways about Biden. I think there's a feebleness there, and there's he's discombobulated to me. I know that people say he has a stammer and all of this, but he's not vital to me. And it's interesting because Bernie Sanders, who's 1,100 years old, has more fire. I don't think that he would live through 4 years of the presidency, but it will be because he burns out. He'll burn out like a shooting star in the atmosphere. He will literally be so angry and so committed and so intense and so outspoken that he will simply burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. Joe Biden, on the other hand, he'll turn into dust as opposed to ashes. Jack London's quote: "I'd rather be ashes than dust." He will end up being. I just feel he'll die in his sleep at some point because he'll yawn himself to death. I know what you're saying about Pete Buttigieg. I certainly don't like certain things that he's done. On the other hand, his extreme intelligence and his ability to communicate on television, the fact that he can sit with Jimmy Fallon and be funny and smart like Barack Obama, that he would be definitely would be on Saturday Night Live and be laughing at himself. All of these things, I'd be willing to put up with the things that are wrong with him as opposed to another 4 years of Donald Trump. So it's you know, there's Amy Klobuchar. Yeah, there's things that are wonderful about him, her. On the other hand, whenever she speaks, she says three sentences, and then she always punctuates it with, "Please check me out on AmyKlobuchar.com." There's always a but wait, there's more on this offer for $19.95. You can get AmyKlobuchar.com. She's always a QVC special. To me, she's always an HSN special. You know, there's always an ad thing going on, and you can buy a blouse or a windshield repair kit with her. Each of them has failings, but I would take any of them rather than four more years of Donald Trump. The question is, as you have so articulately said, who can defeat him? The problem is we need to make sure that we get someone in there who defeats him. And by the way, boys and girls, does not defeat him just in the Electoral College. Yes, definitely the Electoral College, but soundly defeats him in the popular vote. We can't have it be a close popular vote. There has to be a 2-to-1 superiority in the vote so that A, the Republicans can't claim that the election will be stolen, which is exactly what they're going to do. The election, in this election cycle, the Republicans will claim that any defeat of any Democrat, including dog catcher in Butt Poke, Idaho, if a Republican is defeated, they will immediately declare that every election was any election was stolen. They will immediately put the brakes on everything. You can see Mitch McConnell will do anything for any congressman, anyone, anywhere, a mayor, anyone. It will be contested unless they are landslides, A, and B, those landslide victories have to squash the hopes of that right-wing neo-fascist party. It has you've got to thoroughly humiliate and squash the fact that they have had 4 years by Election Day, 4 years of running this country the way Germany in 1930 was run. It's got to be an enormous victory on the left. It's got to be a huge, huge progressive victory. Otherwise, we're just going to have 4 years of agony.
To get that, you need inspiration, though, don't you? You really do need inspiration to get that.
You need inspiration, or you need a catastrophe on the right that's enormous. You need to have this war with Iraq and Iran turn into a complete rout, and where this working class in the red states goes, oh, he did get us into a war, and it turned out to be a mess. Or you need the stock market to crash and under him, so that then, you know, the economy does, in fact, collapse like it did in 2008, and that will get him out. You need something that will be – or we need Putin to be horrified and disgusted finally by Donald Trump, and to release the films of him being urinated on by, you know, Moldavian prostitutes.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Republicans use that kind of stuff for Christmas cards. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? Really?
Well,
they do. They're secret little Santa thing. This is the most horrifying group of politicians to ever congeal, and it's been 50 or better years coming to us. And
I would agree with you, except that maybe he would lose his born again. Yeah, but maybe he would lose his born-again base. Maybe he would lose this bizarre, the Christian right might actually finally say, oh, no, we can't be supporting that.
Some of them already are. There's been a lot of chatter since
there's been some erosion, but you need – you need to have pornography released involving Donald Trump and 11-year-old black girls, you know, in Alabama, provided by, you know, Mitch McConnell.
Him elected. You know, it seems to me that got him votes. He was accused of partying with the porn star, and that got him votes, you know, so I'm confused on that one. I think it takes inspiration, Mummy. I do. I think it takes great inspiration. And you can't deny that Bernie inspires, so does Warren, and so does Buttigieg. The rest of them kind of fall away to the side with a dull glamour.
Well, now this is where you and I disagree. This is where you and I disagree, because I'm telling you that anyone who wins the nomination should take the entire debate, 10, 12 candidate debate team, from Cory Booker to, you know, every one of them, every Kamala Harris, all of them, all of them, Yang, all of them, and make them the new cabinet. I would love to see every single, they are the hope for me. I know that Kamala Harris wasn't perfect. I know Cory Booker wasn't perfect, but each of them was more talent. I see these people being the next generation who will be fiery and amazing and intelligent. Kamala Harris is extremely intelligent. Cory Booker is extremely intelligent. These are gifted people and would be perfect in a cabinet.
You have heard that, you know, Julian Castro, who's no slouch, he has opted out of his run in the last week. He's working for Elizabeth Warren, who, by the way, is also doing tag teaming with Kamala Harris out west. They're set up too. So Warren is reaching out to these people. Bernie has reached out to only one person, and that was real smart of him. He went for AOC. You know, that could be hindrance if you're a moderate, but and these people bring people to their feet and get the cheers and get the admiration for what they propose to do. And then you have a guy like Joe Biden, who can't get through a rally now without making a few gaffes, or, you know, Amy Klobuchar, who it seems like, you know, the milkmaid from down the street, who's very good at her job, but you only trust her so far. It's very strange to see these people. And of course, we all have our own unique lens, as you point out, Mommy. We all have our own unique lens. But I will say this, the progressive people, they're asking the ones who fall to the side to come and walk with them.
Yeah. What fascinates me too, I was talking with some people the other day, because I've been traveling so much, you know, literally from Massachusetts to Florida and now Pennsylvania. And I talk with people in the hotels, and, you know, there are people, you know, at adjoining tables in cafes who don't know each other, but strike up conversations and everything. It's interesting how the Republicans cleverly in 1968 through 72 turned the Southern Democrats, the Dixiecrats, into Republicans. It was very, very hard. And Lyndon Johnson was aware of it. Everyone was very aware of it. Nixon, Goldwater, all of these people watched. Some of them participated in it. And how they took the Southern Democrats and wooed them and seduced them into, and it was talk about marketing, about packaging and marketing and labeling. They had to talk them into saying, okay, you're going to have to leave the term Democrat behind, and you're going to have to hold your nose and forget Abraham Lincoln, and you're going to have to become the new Republicans. So that whole middle section, that's especially the Southern Sun Belt, went from being Democrats, proudly Democrats, you know, the way the Civil War, that was the Democrats versus the Republicans of the North. They had to stop thinking of themselves as Democrats and become Republicans. And the country literally flipped in 4 years' time.
Yes,
and it reversed the labeling, and and everyone had to think of what they were now. So they turned on their, you know, they flipped. The Democratic Party had become so big and was stretched so thin trying to cover KKK members and Jewish Ivy League graduates, you know, all of these different minorities in the Northeast, immigrant North. They had to cover all of that. And Lyndon Johnson was the last person who could hold the Democratic Party together despite all of those completely disparate elements. The one thing they all had in common, sort of, was that there was a lot of racism against blacks. Blacks were still of the Republican Party, so to speak. And it was minorities, and it was immigrants, and it was Southerners, and it was, and it flipped. What we're seeing now is America has a knee-jerk reaction to the word socialist, and they immediately accuse anyone who has liberal economic policies. They accuse them of being Bolsheviks, communists, all of this stuff. They accuse, you know, both Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are considered to be dangerous, un-American communists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the word socialist, you and I grew up with this. You and I, Gwendolyn, grew up with the word socialism as being the most terrifying possible thing that could happen. And we say that word, and we have to sort of settle our tummies and sort of breathe and say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then we realize that much of America already is socialism. In fact, what we have is socialism for the rich in this country. We have all sorts of government support for the rich. You know, who was the economist who was it Galbraith, who said that socialism is never okay in America unless it's for the rich. It's, you know, it can't be for the poor. It's got to be for the rich. And
yeah, but it was FDR that brought all of the robber barons in and said, you're going to pay for this, and brought in Social Security. He set that all up, and it was the women behind him who gave him those policies. Socialism, by the way, I learned when I was in 11th grade of high school, I learned what socialism was about and how it applied to great programs for the benefit of the community and could be used and was used in our country very handily.
Uh-huh.
But it was big difference between that and Marxism and communism and the rest, you know. But socialists, that never scared me. But I've seen what you're saying. That is quite true. People sort of turn around in our age category, and it will still turn around and go socialist because they align it to something like a communist.
Right. The thing that gets me too, yes, exactly. The thing that gets me is that we're living again. It's all marketing. It's all labeling. It's all
right.
It's all clever bending of terms and labeling.
Propaganda.
Is there anyone? Is yes, propaganda. I was just you read my mind. It the Ministry of Propaganda. There has never been a president who has used the old rules of propaganda. Right out of 1984, the movie, the book 1984, right out of the Stalinist and Hitler playbooks, repeating lies over and over again.
I know.
Caught, continue to repeat a lie, continue to repeat, make sure the lie is huge because people might suspect that a small lie, that a little lie is not. But if you make a lie giant enough and say it often enough, it becomes impossible to argue against it.
We cut our teeth. We cut our teeth on Asimov and Bradbury. And in 1984, we had to read. I mean, we had to read.
Animal Farm, all of it, yes.
Catcher in the Rye. I mean, we had to read all of this stuff. We cut our teeth on it for people to eat. Well, I guess we can tell who's educated and who is not. And it just brings you down to that basic, that education is freedom and liberty and kindness.
Of course, Donald Trump was schooled and trained by Roy Cohn, one of the great, I mean, one of the most dangerous, dangerous people in this country. And not only, but ironically, gay, right? A closet gay, and died of AIDS. But was completely trained himself by Joe McCarthy, by the communist witch trials. It is so interesting to see how things reverse and come back, and so interesting to see how Roy Cohn and Joe McCarthy, claimed to be terrified by Russia and communist China and the communists. And yet here's our president, Roy Cohn's scion, you know, Reich scion, his wonderful apprentice, Donald Trump, is completely enthralled and devoted to Putin. That in fact, communist doesn't mean anything. It's kleptocracies. It's
oligarchy.
Government of, yes, it's oligarchies and kleptocracies, countries that are based on theft and money and a centralization of all wealth. It's very, in fact, Stalinism, Stalin's version of communism was again fascism. You start to take fascism from one side and extreme communism from the other, and they join together.
Yeah.
You know, they eventually they bend so far to the left and so far to the right that they become one. They're actually the same thing, which was Orwell's point at the end of Animal Farm.
Yeah.
At the end of Animal Farm, all the farm animals are looking inside the house. And they are looking at the humans and they're looking at the pigs who were the governing animals in the barnyard, in the field from the barnyard and everything. And the last line is the animals looked at the pigs and the humans and they couldn't figure out which was which because they had all become one. The pigs were wearing clothes and the humans' faces had started to become pig-like, and the animals looked in and sadly were horrified and resigned because they could not, quote unquote, tell the difference between the pigs and the humans. The point being that the fascists had become the communists, that it had all become one thing. And that's the world we are here, 60 years later, after Animal Farm was written or whatever. That's where we are, that Russia is Nazi Germany and that our own government, we are not willing to call a spade on this, that we are being ruled as Hitler ruled Germany in 1930. We are being fooled by this man who claims to be a friend of the working people, and he is bilking them just as Hitler bilked the poor Germans, or the German poor, I should say, you know,
well,
the German
sweetie,
poor.
We will look good in our resistance garb, won't we?
Well, I have my Madame Defarge outfit. I have my Madame Defarge outfit already, and I don't knit as well as I needlepoint, but I will be beside the guillotine, and I will be needlepointing away names to go to the blade. I promise you. Listen, we have 8 minutes left. I'm looking here. I want to remind everyone that we were produced by daughtersofisis.com, as we are every Monday night at 8 o'clock. That's Eastern Daylight Standard Time, and 7 Central, or your corresponding time and zone. Please join us. We have listeners from Europe. We have listeners in Australia. And by the way, I want to do a shout-out every week to Australia, but I want to say to all our wonderful viewers and listeners in Australia that we send you our love and our concern and our continuing prayers. We hope that you're safe. We hope your animals are safe. And folks, please stop posting that 500,000 animals have died in Australia. The conservative estimate is 500 million. That is a conservative estimate. That means half a billion animals are believed to have died in the fires in Australia. And I want to mention one other thing quickly in the few minutes we have left. For those of you that think, well, they're just animals, or it's Australia, or I don't know, it's on the other side of the earth and it's on a different hemisphere or whatever. There are people that have been interviewed. There are news reports, and it's on the internet, of people who have been at the front lines or lived on the front lines of the fires in Australia. And they, like the people in Germany, where the zoo burned, where 30 animals were burned to death by three idiot women who set off Chinese lanterns burning, which are illegal, and the balloons on New Year's Eve drifted into a zoo and burned 30 animals alive, okay? Gorilla, apes, monkeys, birds, everything. People who witnessed these things, the first thing they said when they were being interviewed by news services was that the sound and sight of what happened, the sight of what they saw and what they heard, the sounds that animals, that a living thing makes when it burns to death, have scarred them forever. You talk about PTSD, they will never recover. There were people who, they said they can't get the sound or the sight out of their psyches, that they are completely ruined as human beings by what they saw and heard. I cannot underexpress the grief I feel for these tragedies, and that we as human beings have got to stop. We have got to start being smarter, because this is unacceptable.
The little girl said, she said, the house is on fire, and she was right. She was prescient on it. She said, the house is on fire.
So I just want to send my prayers to the people in Australia and say that we are very aware. Some of us are very aware of what you're going through. And we are, you know, if people talk about 9/11 and having seen that happen, as I did, living in Greenwich Village and being right down near the World Trade Center, I, as bad as that was, what Australia is going through and what the residents of that neighborhood where the zoo was, these are the horrors that we are visiting on other species and other organisms and other souls, other beings on this planet. And this has got to be a change. Let's let the 20s start to be a time when we do not victimize other species with our own psychopathy. Okay. Again, daughtersofisis.com was our sponsor tonight, as it always is. Gwendolyn, thank you for being our producer and our sponsor. You're a great, great gift from last year, and we're carrying you into the new year, into the roaring 20s. I'm so grateful to have you in my life.
Back at you.
You can join daughtersofisis.com on Facebook, and you can join them on the internet and look at their catalog of products. I encourage you to look over their products and do purchase some. They are wonderful. I love the Daughters of Isis products that I have in my own. You can also find me on SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com, SybilBrunchen.com, and on Sybil Brunchen's Lollipop Guild, a page of happy and fun and funny stories, nothing political, nothing controversial or vexing on the Lollipop Guild. Find that on the Facebook family of pages. Also, you can find me on YouTube and Instagram and Twitter. And if you want to see any of my Tourette's, you can find them on any of those places as well. We will be here again, same place, on the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio. I'm so grateful to the Here Be Monsters studio for inviting me to be part of their stable of stars, just like I was at MGM and Warner Brothers before that unfortunate blacklisting in the 1950s. No chance of me being blacklisted now, at least not by Gwendolyn. But we will be here again next Monday at 8 o'clock. Gwendolyn, what do you think we should talk about next week? We broke in the 20s. We're about to celebrate the 100th anniversary of women getting the vote. How exciting, ladies. Let's try and make our votes count, okay? If there's a woman out there who wants to vote against her own sisterhood, I want to encourage you to read The Handmaid's Tale to see what happens when women don't take their power. It's like, I can't imagine any woman who continues to vote. Susan Collins, are you listening? I can't imagine any woman who continues to vote against her own interests. So we're about to celebrate in this year, 2020, the 100th anniversary of women, American women having the vote. And I hope that they make a really smart change this election cycle, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I think that the Golden Globes Awards and what Michelle Williams and, as you said, Ellen DeGeneres, and then, and yes, Patricia Arquette, what all of them were saying last night at the awards was so meaningful, so very meaningful. You know, it's Patricia Arquette alone was fabulous. Anyway, we're out of time. I'm going to let Gwendolyn take us out with our theme. We'll see you next Monday night. I love you all. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.